Dear Heavenly Father, we're now prepared to go into the Word. Father, I thank you so much for those that you've appointed to lead us in praise and worship. Lead us into the presence of the Most High God. And Father, we consider that an honor and a privilege. For Father, that is the means by which we enter into the Spirit. And now, Father, as we approach your Word, this Word that you've laid upon my heart as your under-shepherd is the Word they need for this hour. And so, Father, may it be of great value to them to meditate and think upon it and put it into use in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You're okay. Okay. Turn open to the book of Acts, chapter 1. The book of Acts, chapter 1. I was with the young adults last night. How many of you young adults were here last night? Do you know many of your young adults? You can get your hands up. You know, sometimes we don't think certain meetings are productive, but this one was very productive for me. Because I like listening and having the young people give me feedback. What I thought was very interesting is what I had to share in my heart today was one of the questions that came up. What do you do with people who name the name of Christ over their life and yet don't have a very good witness or testimony? That was one of the questions that came up. Well, then we went into the subject of being a good witness, having a good witness. And many of us are all guilty of falling short of that in our life. I'm not an exception to the rule, believe me. Sometimes we're not the witness that we should be with our children, the witness that we should be with our loved ones, especially called relatives. Sometimes we're not the witness we should be in church. We're just not the witness that we should be. We all seem to fall short in that. Thank God for love. And love covers a multitude of sin. But for the next couple of Sundays, I want to talk to you about the issue of role model. You know, a lot of people talk about being a role model, but they don't realize the position that a role model holds. It's a very important position. And then when you go to a lot of the seminars and you listen to a lot of the good information that comes out, somehow many of us get the idea that the importance of being a role model goes with holding a particular office. It goes with holding an important position, whether it's in life or whether it's in the church. A role model is always taken from the viewpoint of being in some special position, and so therefore you have to maintain a good role model. Sue and I, when we started the church, we had a little difficulty at first because it seemed like now that we're running a church, we now have inherited a home with glass windows. And, boy, that's so true. That is so true. We do. That's obvious. But look in the book of Acts here in chapter 1 of the apostles. And let's go to verse 6. When they therefore were come together, and I'm going to read out the King James translation because I left my new King James at home. They ask of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel. No, the apostles did not understand the church age. And he said unto them, is it not for you to know the times or the seasons which your Father hath put in his own power? But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So here he says, you shall be witnesses after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Isn't that interesting? And the word witnesses here is a very interesting Greek word. It literally refers to those who are martyrs. Well, when I first saw that, I said, oh my gosh, does it mean that we all have to be put to death in order to be a good witness? Well, the death that we later on discover in Scripture is not referring to necessarily a physical death as much as a death that takes place in us as a result of our walk with the Lord. And the Holy Spirit is the only one that has the ability to do that. You know, this might shock a few of you, but did you know there's not the perfect psychologist to help you mentally? Did you guys figure that one out by now? Or did you know that there's no one that can, I know this is going to be another mark against me, but did you know that there's no one, even Pastor Butler, cannot help you change the way you should think? I know I'm saying this right in front of my wife. She has learned by now, I know I certainly have, that I can't change the way that she thinks. And she certainly can't change the way I think. Don't say amen to that. Only God can change the way you think. Only God can heal what needs healing in your life, contrary to what some people seem to think. The world tries to play down Christianity by its Hollywoodism. They're trying to steal the glory of the kingdom of God from the earth. But guess what? He won't do it. He won't do it. Now, the word witness here, martyr, is a very interesting word. This word, a lot of people don't understand what it really fully means, but it literally means to bring something to light, to confirm something. This is really a witness of death. To bring something to light, to witness to something. And the earlier church went through what we call persecution by government structure. And there were a lot of Christians that were martyred, physically killed. And in their death, there was a witness that came to light that these martyrs refuse to be moved from their testimony. And it brought something to light. It brought a witness to light concerning those who took their life. Now, in the New Testament church, you and I today, we're not as plagued as they were because we have the government still walking with us and not against us. But that's not the same in all countries or nations. And so we are fortunate from that viewpoint. The sad thing about it is that your true spirituality will really show up in prosperity. Because it takes more for a believer, more of an integrity of heart, when you choose to do something in spite of your prosperity. You're still willing to put to death in you your rights to glory in prosperity and still press in to please the living God because you refuse to give in to the dictates of the comforts that this world has to offer for the sake of the name of the living God whom you represent. Last night, I can't remember how it was worded, but one of the young men said that, well, what happens if you're fellowshipping with like brothers who say they're Christians and yet they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing? They're not living what they're supposed to be living. Well, I've learned that the love of God in you is far greater than the severity of God with people. And you've got to realize just because they call themselves a Christian does not mean they're under the Word of God for their mind to be renewed. Your mind has to be changed. And the only one that can change the way that you think is you connected directly with the Lord Jesus and under His Word, because when you get under His Word, then the Holy Spirit has something to work with. How many got what I'm saying? And so we can't do anything to encourage conviction in your heart. We can't do it. That has to come between you and the Lord. The Lord has to put that conviction there. The sad thing about it is that many of us as believers have learned very quickly how to suppress our convictions and our motives that are godly for that which is ungodly. It's sad. Very sad. What helped me in my prayer life, because prayer life is a life of discipline and choice, and it's one of the hardest things that you'll ever face as a believer, and that if you allow the input of the world to be greater on its standard than the input of your bonding together with the Lord in prayer, you'll always be way out of balance with the kingdom of God. I don't care how you look at it. The Lord spoke to me one time, said, you spend all that time with movies, how about prayer? You know, sometimes the cares of this world can take us out of the fellowship that God wants us to be, and we don't realize the effect that it can have on us. Now, I'm going to say something very shocking here. He says, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And did you know that this is not saying, and unto the role models or the leaders? It doesn't say any specific person or office where being a role model is going to be committed. It says to everybody that receives the Holy Ghost. You know what that means? That means every one of us is a role model. Now, like I said, when you go to seminars, they give you the impression that that seminar is geared up specifically for leaders in the church. And so eventually we lose the concept we're all supposed to be role models. Every single one of us. Did you guys know that? Now, this will shock you, as it did me, but the Lord told me, He says, when you're a father, you're a role model. Did you know that when you're a young adult, you're a role model? Did you know that when you're a wife, you're a role model? Did you know when you're a husband, you're a role model? Did you know when you're a relative, you're a role model? Did you know that when you go to church, you're a role model? Did you guys know that? Everything you do when you say Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, you have set yourself up to be a role model. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has been given charge to you to see to it that you are that witness. Uh-oh. Well, what happens if I'm not really responsive like I should be? You don't have this thought of anybody else but yourself. It's called self-centeredness. Now, I'm just preaching something to you the Lord preached to me with my wife. Because families do argue. Ours has now arrived to perfectness, but at one time. And the Lord spoke to me one day and said, you're her role model. Just like the children. Just here yesterday, the Lord began to deal with me about being a better role model with my children. And he would hit me in specific areas that I needed to deal with. And boy, right away, you just come to attention, yes, sir, I'll deal with it. We are all role models. But in order to be a good role model, you've got to give outside of your own bun. You got to step outside of yourself and think of others. Because role modeling is what it is. You have a role to model before somebody else. How many times as a pastor you hear somebody across your desk sit and weep and say, I couldn't believe why my children ended up the way that they ended up with. We have served the Lord our whole life. We've been all that we know to be with the Lord. And yet, your heart goes out because their role modeling was horrible. They compromised on every turn of the road. And yet it incurred a loss. When you do not think of others in your walk before the Lord, then you have a spiritual deficiency you need to deal with. Now, the beautiful thing about the Word of God is we've been talking about end time things. Now, we're going to get a real revelation here this morning about this so-called role modeling that we're doing. Every one of us in here are role models. Are you ready? For not only your little area of the world, but you're a role model to the whole world when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Now, this word martyr, literally, the full meaning of it is to bring something to light or to confirm something. Being a witness brings things to light or to confirm something. Now, I want you to follow me real close here. I want you to turn over to Revelations chapter 1. Revelations chapter 1. And I've been going through this particular book with Rick Renner, and I'll tell you what, I love that man. I love Rick Renner so much. You have to he's kind of like Dave Roberson. If you're going to sit down and listen to what they got to say, you got to pay attention to what they're saying, because they are so loaded with information, good information. But as I was going through these seven messages of the seven churches by Rick, the Lord had me step back from the cassettes for a little bit and take a look at the skeleton of the book of Revelations. And when I did that, I picked up some things, not what Rick was teaching so much. What Rick was teaching really added to what the Lord had put together in a skeleton form. Now, I want you to notice something about what was said in verse... Well, let's start in Revelations chapter 1. And let's start with verse 1. We will. Now, we're going to be talking about role modeling. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things, notice this, that he saw. It's very interesting. This word that he saw is a Greek word, literally means that the person himself had to be present to see what they were seeing. It was not a perception. It was not a perceiving. It literally meant someone who had been in the presence of something and had witnessed it firsthand with their eyes. How many of you follow what I'm saying? So it's something that the Lord had borne witness with. And notice what he said, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now, one translation says, the time is near. Another translation says, the time is close at hand. And I thought this was a very interesting Greek word. It literally meant that that time period of what this book was referring to was a time period that was very, very near what was about to take place. It wasn't talking about something that was in the future. It wasn't talking about something that was in the past. It was talking about a time period that when this stuff starts to come out in the book of Revelation, it's referring to that time period where Jesus' return is very, very near. Now, we talk about role modeling. I had one young man last night talk to me, and he said something that shocked me. He said, you know, he said, I have put people up on a pedestal in my life. So much so that I was kind of feeling inferior to them. And so my whole motive was to push forward and to be what they were until they took a dive and fell in my presence. Uh-oh. And you know what they said to me? I hope they don't mind me sharing this if they're here. They said to me, you know, Pastor, the sad thing about it was it so let me down that it gave me a position of an excuse to do the same thing. Hello. It was like when that standard that was so high in their eyes came down a notch. It brought them down a notch. I see that with children in their walk with Jesus, directly linked to the witness their parents have gave about the Lord. If you're going to carry a high standard with Jesus Christ, do it before your children. Don't compromise. Because you know what? You'll end up compromising. You'll find it in your children. They'll do it. Well, if my parents treat it that way, I guess I can too. Being a role model is not an easy place. You know what you need to be a good role model? I'll tell you what you need. You need Holy Ghost. He has to be at work in your heart. He has to be at work in your heart. And in order for you to be a good role model, not only does the Holy Spirit have to be at work in your heart, listen, you have to give outside of yourself. There's always a giving of yourself. Now, notice what he says here. Let's read on. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. In other words, this, what he's about to have him write down, is because the time is very short with these people. Now, notice what he says to John. He says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is at hand, or which is, and which was, and which is to come. Now, what is that referring to? Jesus. Now, notice what he said, and which is to come. So he's writing this down so that this information can be given to somebody before he comes. Now, notice what he says. And from the seven spirits. Underline that. The seven spirits which are before his throne. The seven spirits which are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. Notice what he says here. Faithful witness. Underline that. Faithful witness. Do you know what we do? We shove our lives into little boxes. And sometimes we don't realize how dangerous it is when we just cross-reference these little boxes instead of looking at everything as a whole. What I mean by little boxes is pastors. I'll put me on the chopping block first. Pastors have a tendency to be a good witness at church, but not at home. Uh-oh. So we got pastor home and pastor church. Uh-oh. 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 Did you know that we have Mike Golder? He's a committed Christian to the Lord Jesus Christ at church and at work and at home. We got another little box here going. You follow me? And so we realize very quickly that we can't be the same all the time in every place. We have to do a little adjustment. Wrong. Wrong. That is not how God works in your heart. God makes you the same person at church as you are at home, as you are at work, as you're dealing with unbelievers, as you're dealing with believers. You're still the same role model for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the true witness, and you're to follow in His footsteps of being a good witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I got news for you. In order to do that, you need Holy Ghost. That's why the starting of the church was on the day of Pentecost. That's when the church age really began. And the first thing that Jesus did was to back up what He said would make you a good witness. It is called Holy Ghost connection. I'll pray when I get time. I'm real busy right now. I ain't got nothing. I'll just talk to God all day long. You don't do that with my wife. She likes it when you sit down and look at her and communicate. And you know, any woman with any sound mind would demand that, wouldn't they? They want you to sit down, look at them, and talk to them. When I go to convention or something and talk to a pastor or something, I've learned real quick, if you're going to talk to somebody, look into their eyes, hear what they're saying, communicate back. Don't sit there and talk to you and look all around who's noticing you're there. I just want to grab them by the ears and say, hey, I'm talking to you. You know me? You got to have a connection. You got to have a bond there with the Lord. Somebody says, I don't know. I know what to do, and I never do it, because you don't connect with the Word. The Holy Spirit backs His Word. He don't back Himself. He backs His Word. Now notice this. Here we got this Spirit, the seven spirits which are before His throne. Let's find out where this verse is mentioned again with the word seven spirits. Turn over to Revelation chapter 3. And let's look at verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Here we got these seven spirits again. John and I were asking ourselves here, I forgot how long ago, well, what about these seven spirits? Are they demon spirits? Are they in heaven before the throne? What are they? Well, how many of us do agree that what we just read about these seven spirits here? Notice that he says these spirits are of God. They're of God. These seven spirits. Now, let's go back to chapter 1 of Revelations, and let's look at another verse called verse 20. Are you ready? The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So, thank God for this verse because it tells us something. It tells us that the stars are the pastors. And the candlestick is the church. You know what a candlestick does? You put a candle in it, you light it, and it gives off light. It's called reflecting light. You know when John first noticed the candlesticks? He noticed them when Jesus was in the midst of them. He was in the midst of the candlesticks. They were not in his hand. He was in the midst. Well, you know what he said about being in the midst of these candlesticks? He says, I visited the churches. The churches. And literally in the Greek it says, I walked up and down in the midst of the church. And you know what he said? I saw. You know what he saw? He saw the candlesticks. You know what he saw? What they were reflecting. So you know what Jesus does? He says, we got a role model problem going on here. It's showing up in the people. We got a role model problem going here and it's showing up in the people. But notice what he said about the stars. They were in his hand. Domitian had a son called Zeus. And he imprinted a coin with his son on top of the whole world. And these seven stars around it. And at the time John saw that, he knew immediately he could reflect what he was trying to get a hold of. Domitian considered himself God and his son a savior of the world. And so Jesus appeared that way with these seven stars in his hand. Are you following me? In the midst of the candlesticks. He didn't have the candlesticks in his hand. He had the stars in his hand. He said the stars are the pastors or the angels of the church because the word angel can mean messenger, pastor, or prophet. It can have any of that meaning according to text. And he says, that's what I've got in my hand. He didn't say seven spirits. Well, where are the spirits? They were before the throne of God. Now, what is the meaning of these seven visitations of these seven churches? Jesus does not like the role model that's coming out of some of them churches. And guess what? When he appears here, he appears not as the Lamb or the Savior of the world. He appears in the position of judgment. He says, I'm going to do some judging here. I'm going to give specific instructions to these seven pastors of these seven churches. And he gives them specific instructions what they have to do. And it's the heavy Greek word, repent. And you know what that word repent means? It has nothing to do with whatsoever to feel sorry for what you did. That is remorse. And remorse does nothing to change you. It only makes you feel sorry about something. But when you change your mind, now Jesus will get something different out of you. You have to change the way that you think about something. And your mind, metanoia, literally means change mind. Boop. And nobody can do that but us. We're the only ones that have the power to change our mind. And repentance is, oh God, I feel so sorry. I like what Rick Renner said. He said, we used to have a whole altar full of people, oh, crying out. And he took note of a lot of the families he knew personally. And they'd get up from that, oh God, really touched me today. Tears just dripping down. And they go on and repeat the same thing again. because they had remorse, but they had no change in way they thought about something. A good role modeler learns to change the way that he sees how he thinks. Now notice what he says here. Don't want to get off the subject. Notice in verse 20, he doesn't bring up the seven spirits. But he does bring them up in verse 4, and he does bring them up in chapter 3, verse 1. Now are you ready? This word for the seven spirits is not brought up to the loveless church. It's not brought up to the persecuted church. It is not brought up to the compromising church. The spirits is not brought up before the corrupt church. The spirits are not brought up before the lukewarm church. The spirits, the issue of the spirits, are brought up before the dead church. And these spirits are of God. Now, I'm going to share something with some of you. It might be a little shock. We're going to go into a little teaching thing that might catch you to understand something. Are you ready? The word spirit is a very interesting word in Scripture. It appears several ways. And how you determine how it's being used is by the text in the way that it was used. How many understand what I'm talking about? If somebody is writing me a letter, and in the form of the letter, they're telling me a story, and then you come across with this little statement, well, you know what kind of spirit they have. You know the nature that they have about themselves. And I'd love to tell them some things, but I know the spirit about them, and I don't dare say that. So they use the word spirit. Well, the Bible uses the word spirit, very interesting. One way is the Holy Spirit. Oh, my gosh, we know what the Holy Spirit is. Another one is the human spirit. Oh, well, a lot of churches don't even know what a human spirit is. They see themselves as flesh only. And another one for the word spirit, in Scripture, it's used interchangeably. It's used interchangeably. Sometimes when it's referring to a spirit, it's referring to either the human spirit or the Holy Spirit. It's determined by the text. But the one that's very interesting is when they use the word in Scripture with attitude or nature of something. The attitude or nature of something. Did you know that it is used that way in Scripture? Are you ready? Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Like I said, we're going to get a little teaching thing going here. Because I want to clarify to you why these spirits are brought up before the throne of God. Spirits. In Ephesians chapter 5, I want you to notice the wording there. In Ephesians chapter 5, and let's go to verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children, notice this, of disobedience. You know what he's referring to? Believers. Believers. Because you don't use the word children of disobedience on unbelievers only. Those who disobey. And notice what he goes on to say. Be ye not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. In the Greek, they use the word light. That word literally means reflection. What is reflecting? Well, when you say here the word fruit with it, it means the fruit of what they're reflecting. Or the nature about them. Let's jump backwards to verse 22 of Ephesians chapter 4. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful desires, and be renewed. Renewed. Be renewed. I like this word here. Be renewed. Ananias. It literally means brand new again. What do you mean brand new again? A brand new way of thinking again. A brand new way of thinking again. How many got that? Notice this. A brand new way of thinking again. Notice this. In the spirit of your mind. That is a very interesting word. It all comes together. It literally means to be renewed in the spirit of the mind of you. And it's referring to the state that your mind is in. Now, you know when I got born again? Did you know my mind was not delivered? My soul was not delivered? Did you know there was a lot of my soul still in darkness? Is today. There's some still goofy thinking goes on me today, right? Guess who got this mess? Jesus. He inherited me. When I gave my life to Him, guess what? His inheritance was me. He said, say, Jesus, thank you for inheriting me. Oh, glory. You know what He got along with you? He not only gave you a perfect spirit, you gave Him an imperfect soul. And within that soul contains a nature. And guess what? God looks forward to being your daddy, your father, to what? To remove the darkness and input the light. Amen? So you know what He inherited? Not only did He place you on a solid foundation, He inherited a spirit about you that has to be changed. Because He doesn't inherit the flesh of mankind, He inherits the inner man of mankind, the spirit of mankind. Can I hear an amen? Amen. See, you and I are all His inheritance, spiritually speaking. Now notice how He uses the word here, the seven spirits which are before the throne of God, how they fit into them stars, and here's how they fit into them. Star 1, star 2, star 3, star 4, star 5, star 6, and star 7. How many stars are there? Thank you, you guys are real sharp. You know what's contained within them stars? Seven spirits. Seven spirits. Spirit 1, Spirit 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven spirits. Now Jesus walked in the midst of the candlesticks. Saw firsthand what the candlesticks were reflecting. And guess what He did? He didn't go to the candlesticks. He went to the pastor and said, hey, you guys, you're supposed to be my role model. We got some bad reflection going on here. We got to do something about it. And do you know why He never mentions the seven spirits? Because it's a direct link to what He inherited. And He called it the dead church. Meaning a portion of it was alive, but a portion of it was dead. Or when you read the content of the dead church, He's saying, you guys aren't even saved. Your leaders are saved, but you're not. Because He goes on and explains it. Some of you do have robes of righteousness, but many of you don't. He says, you better put on the robes. How many churches we have today that you know these people are not born again? June was giving me a testimony of a couple that was going to her sister's church. They were in there, and finally the couple said, if we hear this word, born again, one more time, we're leaving this place. They wanted church, but they didn't want nothing to do with born again. That's where this church fits. Do you know, are you guys aware of it? Some Catholic priests are really genuinely saved. But some are not. Did you know that there are some genuinely saved Catholics? I know I was in the midst of a charismatic Catholic renewal. After I removed the cigarette smoke, I could see where they were coming from. In every dead church, there are people that are really, really saved. Except for a couple, we know that you can't be because of their doctrine. We have to make a stand, right? But how would you think about this if Jesus appeared to you and said, listen, some of your leaders are saved, but you're not. Guess who he's going to go to? He's going to go to the pastor of that church and saying, why is this going on? How come some of you are saved, but a lot of your congregation are not? You want to know why? Because the pastor had a spirit about him that needed correction. Why? His role modeling was bad. Are you guys getting a gist of what I'm saying? Turn over to Galatians chapter 5, and I am going to close on this one. Galatians chapter 5. You're going to love this series because right off the get-go, we attack flesh. And if there's any flesh in you, you won't be back. Notice what he says in Galatians chapter 5. And let's start with verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Actually, it's walk in spirit. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. The word led here comes from a Greek word which literally means trained up properly. You have been disciplined properly. It doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit has put a rope around you and He's leading you every day. That's not what that's referring to. It's referring to the Holy Spirit at work within your heart, growing you up, weos, becoming a mature son, so that now there is a spirit about you that knows how to follow the way of the Holy Spirit. You know what? God's whole purpose in your life is to make you an awesome role modeler. Why? Because you can lead men into the kingdom of God, or you can lead men out of the kingdom. Now, are you ready for this in closing? Third one. This is going to get real good. Jesus had laid the foundation of the Word of God through the apostles. Can I hear an amen? Okay, over a period of time, anywhere from 85 to 100 years, Jesus knew over that time frame that the Word of God in these pastors' lives were not taking root like it should, and it was affecting the candlesticks. Now, most end time teachers say these seven churches was the generation that the church was at that minute. Listen, these spirits are still in our church today. And the reason Jesus laid it down, he said, I know that the word has been laid perfectly. All of us can conform to that perfect laid word. And now Jesus come back in judgment to the pastors saying, you got to stop this spirit that's operating through the churches now. Or here's the outcome. You know what I saw about the outcome? It was not good. Do you know the only church that has been promised the rapture or catching away? The only church mentioned is the church of Philly. It's only one. He commends them for everything they do. Everything about him he loved because they held true to the Word of God and held true to the love of God in their heart. But that promise was not given to a loveless church. The one who left their early love for him. perfect church. Perfect, just like the Church of Philadelphia. Except I have one thing against you. You have left your early love. That promise was not given to them. Why? Because you don't know the outcome when a believer loses his early love. And you can go anywhere. Mostly we go into excuses and we keep a hold of Christ. But you're a poor role model. Now, I want you to get this. In all the churches, there are two churches mentioned witness. The dead church says, you have no witness. That's why you got to get saved. You have no witness. You're in a church that has a witness, but you're not saved. There's no witness in you. And guess what other church the witness is made mention of? And when I caught this, I went into shock because this particular church is rampant today. And it is a church of prosperity. And in the lukewarm church, I didn't know these churches are after money, success in life, everything. And that's all they promote to the point material things are before spiritual things. I didn't know this, but he comes down and says that if you don't deal with this witness, I'm going to vomit you up. And do you know what he said? Here's what the vomit is going to look like. Can I come in? Will you open up and let me come in and live with you? I thought they threw Jesus out. Jesus left willingly. You want to know why? He didn't want this witness attached to him. So he said, when he said vomit you out, he says, I'm going to step out. I'm not even going to handle you any longer. It makes me sick. I'm going to step outside and bang on your door, and I'm going to let you know I am not going to associate with that kind of witness. And you know what he says? Here's what he's saying. You've lost your witness with me. You know something? When you hear about these prosperity teachers, I don't know about you, but something on the inside makes me sick. I can't stomach this stuff. Because it's everything about God is what you gain rather than what you're willing to give. It nauseates me. And so I just thought I'd bring that up. And so next week, we're going to get into some issues about how the church has to deal with the unwillingness of poor role modelers. I thought we were going on Revelation. No, we're not going there no more. We're going to jump right back into the epistles. And Jesus, when he came to judge these seven spirits in these seven pastors, he said those spirits were of God. You want to know why? These pastors were born again. They were born from above, but they had the wrong spirit about them. They had the spirit of the new birth. Are you following what I'm saying? But their soul was not delivered yet. And so Jesus pinpointed exactly what is reflecting in the church, and they had to correct it. And you know what? Jesus doesn't go to the church. He goes to the pastor, and yet you find a lot of candlesticks trying to tell the star what to reflect. And God don't go that way. He goes complete authority, top down. He doesn't violate his own authority. Did you guys get something here today? Now I want us to all stand up because we're going to close. This is an important service for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because I know I've spoken to every one of you in this facility. I've even spoken to myself. Amen. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a church repentance. You want to know why? Because you all got to have sympathy on me. I ain't going to stand before Jesus for what's floating around in you. You know what I mean? So we're not going to have an altar call. We don't want to embarrass anybody. But what we're going to do is whatever my message spoke to your heart this morning, you're going to get a chance to say, Lord, I know this one area is wrong in my life. And we're going to ask the Lord to step up, working on our conscience in that area. Are you ready to be tormented? Because guess what? When you leave here today, the Lord told me, the Holy Ghost is going to work. And the Lord wants the Holy Ghost busy. Are you ready? Let's bow our heads. Dear Father, as we all stand before you, Father, I liken myself unto a star. I am the pastor over this church. And Father, I know that sometimes pastors have a tendency to preach what the people want to hear and what they have need of. But Father, sometimes we have to deal in services where your will and your desire is first, in spite of us. Father, we want to be faithful and true to the Word of God. And that's why the Church of Philadelphia was small in numbers, because many believers were not really under the lordship of you. We know that any time flesh has any authority, it will separate itself from the spiritual things. This morning, as we bow our heads, Jesus, whatever it is that you can speak to our hearts, and I know I put myself there, Lord, with your people, and you want to work in our hearts, then tell us personally today, every member of this church, what you want us to work on in our personal life, so that, Father, we'll make the change mentally, see it for its ugliness of what it really is, and change the way we think about it. And then when we change the way that we think about it, we'll walk out of it. And so let's take a moment of silence for the Lord to speak to our hearts. And I'm going to give it about a minute. That should be plenty of time for the Lord to speak. And listen, He's not going to overwhelm you with a whole bunch of stuff. He's going to take the major thing that you're a poor role modeler in. And that's what He's going to deal with. The first place He's going to do is like He did at the church there in John's time. He went to the pastors to deal with the role model that was happening in the churches. So your first role model is your own church. What kind of a role model are you sharing with those you rub elbows with? That would be the first line of attack he would take in your life. And the second one would be very personal. And so let's just take a moment. And I'm going to just give us 1 minute to let the Lord speak, starting in about 5 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Go. Okay, that's 1 minute. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I had three hit me. How about you? I guess I got to work on them. But how many of you know this is what Christianity is really about? The Word of God. So precious to us. Father, now as we close this service, if there be anybody here, Father, that would love to receive Jesus as a personal Savior, Father, we'll reach out and let the Holy Ghost do His wonderful work and bring him into the kingdom. Father, if there's anybody here that doesn't really even have the assurance in their heart that they're saved, Father, we want to confirm that in them if they've said the sinner's prayer. Father, if there be anybody here who had not received the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they need that baptism because that is what helps them be the witness that they need to be. And so with those two things having said that, at the end of the service, I want you to take a little bit of time to come forward for us to pray for you in that area. Also, there are some of you in this body that have not received a healing in your body, and you need that healing. And John Duclos, yes, he's here. And John will come up here, and he will pray for you. And you have to receive that anointing to get that sickness or whatever it is that you need healing off your physical body and trust the Lord for it. It says, you shall lay hands on the sick. The elders will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. This gives you an opportunity even for physical healing, mental healing. So with that said, when I close this service, please feel free to come up here and let us minister to you. And also those of you that have been here for the first time, or maybe you've just visited two or three times, we're opening up our hospitality room in back there. There's a door right in the back there. We're going to have to let our hospitality room above it. And we want you to go and meet there, and somebody will let you in. And there we've got some stuff that we want to give you and fellowship with you a little bit and hear what's in your heart and why you're here visiting. Might just be, we're not here to proselyte anybody, but we're here to hear your heart. Maybe you have some questions about the service. Whatever it is, we're willing to just get right up next to that door there, and somebody will help escort you in. Father, I thank you. As we dismiss this service right now, Father, whatever the need be, may these people receive today in Jesus' name.